Good morning and greetings in the name of Christ this morning. It's great to be with you again. If you would turn with me to Psalm 34. 34th Psalm is one of the most beautiful, I think, in the book of Psalms, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. I've entitled the devotional this morning, "This Poor Man Cried." All right, what I'd like to do here is we'll start out singing. And the way the melody that we normally sing with this passage stops at verse 5 and then picks up again at verse 7. So what I'd like to do is we'll sing down through verse 4. I'll read 5 and 6, and then we'll sing 7 and 8. All right?
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall he thereof be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Beautiful words. What passion. What immediacy. You can feel David's love for the Lord, can't you? Such childlike trust and devotion. Written so many years ago, yet resonating in our 21st century American hearts. And yet, how were these words born? What prompted David to write them? What gave them their passion, their immediacy? Well, it tells us right here in the introduction. Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, make that Achish, who drove him away, and he departed. So let's turn over to 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, and see under what circumstances this psalm was born. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, down through 22, verse 2. What had happened just here before this is written was David had fled for the last time. Saul was determined to kill him. Jonathan had come and warned him, "You've got to run. My father is going to kill you. You've got to get out." Jonathan and David met one more time, but they met under different circumstances. They met when Jonathan sneaked out to his camp with his bunch of, with David's band of outlaws. He talked with him there one last time. Other than that, that was it. Jonathan was killed some years later, and they never met again. David was running from everything that he knew. His wife, his family, his country. The very people that should have been protecting him, lifting him up, building him up, were trying to kill him. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. The servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, 'Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, "Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Can you imagine David fleeing for his life from Saul? And of all places, going to the very city which was home to Goliath. David wasn't thinking very straight, was he? You ever do the same thing? Out of the frying pan into the fire? And maybe circumstances beyond your control led you to make reactionary decisions. And next thing you know, you find yourself in a really bad place. In Israel, Saul was after David, and Saul's henchmen were after David. But there were plenty of sympathizers. David was a popular man. He was the one who, after all, had killed the 10,000s. And there were a lot of people who loved him. In Gath, every man would have loved to have killed him. And he saw them muttering darkly to themselves and staring after him. And all of a sudden, he realized just how much of a fix he was in. He was running for his life, and he ran straight into a hornet's nest is what he did. And I think probably when that realization struck him, the terror that hit him made acting a madman pretty easy, because terror, fear, makes men mad. And he there was no way out for him. His acting was realistic enough that the Philistines let him go. They believed him. Lunacy is its own defense. The sane are powerless against it. So David got away. He fled again, but now he even left his dignity behind. Nowhere to go but the wilderness. Nowhere to stay but a cave. No one to be with but outcasts. Things had never looked so dark. Samuel's prophecies had never seemed so unrealistic. Whatever personal pride David had carried with him into Gath had definitely been left there on that city gate. He had nothing. He had nothing, that is, but God. Which is more that can be said than Saul had. With God, David was unstoppable. Without God, Saul, in his fortress, on his throne, was doomed. And yet that must have seemed awfully far away for David. Some of our most poignant insights come to us when circumstances are at their worst. When we're in dire straits, we can either choose to wallow in self-pity and victimhood, or we can choose to seek the Lord like David did. We can look for his beauty and his care, or we can whine and grovel. Let's look back at Psalm 34 again. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You see where David was coming from? Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them who have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Others are blessed by people who in their darkest hour turn to God and let him work in their lives. Lesser people, people like us, read David's words and wonder at their depth. But that passion would never have been tapped if it had not been for the trials that he went through. And what about us? We're going through tough times. Maybe running from one calamity into another. Maybe being reactionary, making bad decisions, and finding ourselves where we have no sane way out. Are we going to give up to Satan? Or are we going to give everything up to God? Are you willing to leave your pride, your reputation behind, and let God take control of your life? God's word is full of promises to those who approach him in humility, in brokenness, in contriteness, and yet we do everything in our power sometimes to keep from being broken. Are you willing to let the tough circumstances you are in help you toward the end of approaching God, or will you be like Saul, prideful, paranoid, doomed? Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Are we going to separate the circumstances that we are in from our experience with God? Do like Saul did, desperately try to kill the people that stand in our way. We're out of control. Situations are beyond our control. We're desperate. We're going to do whatever it takes to stay at the top. Are we going to do like David? We're going to run to God. We have nothing but him. We need nothing but him. Verse 6 again. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Let's kneel for prayer.